It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 167 of Meat Trapper Radio. We're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. The first half of the show, we're going to talk about the upcoming confiscation of assault weapons. And I'm going to tell you exactly how this is going to go down and exactly the methodology that they're going to use to get us to voluntarily surrender our weapons. And if you think that's far-fetched or outlandish, then you need to stay tuned. And the second half of tonight's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about harvesting Asian carp. As many of you know, the area that I have moved to is completely overrun with Asian carp. They have basically destroyed the ecosystem and run off everything. And they've just taken it over, just like wild hogs do when they move into an area. And by the way, wild hogs are moving into this area as well. It's funny how these invasive species come in and completely take over, at least for a time being. And I'm going to share some of my thoughts on surreptitious harvesting of this food source. And yes, it is an almost unlimited food source in this area. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsor, Mr. Brian McKee of SouthernSnares.com. Brian is the reason that this broadcast is able to come to you each and every week. And we certainly thank Brian for his generosity. And if you are in the market for any types of snares, traps, lures, survival supplies, hammocks, anything like that, be sure and give Brian at SouthernSnares.com a try. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. And if you were going to be in the area of Crossville, Tennessee in the month of October, consider coming by the Southeastern National Trappers Association Convention, stopping by the Southern Snares booth, and saying hello to Brian and myself. I will be there the entire time. I will also be giving a demo on snare building, and I have quite a few voicemails that I still have to return as things are starting to get down to the nitty-gritty here. And as always, I apologize for being tardy in some of my responses to emails and messages, but it's starting to get busy, and I pretty much stay busy. But I do read and appreciate each and every comment. I really do. So without further ado, let's talk about the primary topic tonight. The primary topic is the coming assault weapons confiscation. Now, if you remember the last time we went through this, we had an assault weapons ban where they basically, you know, made it to where you couldn't buy an assault weapon. They stopped the selling of assault weapons. But they didn't come door-to-door kicking your door in or anything like that and taking your guns from you. They simply put a stop to any new transactions. Now, whether you want to hear this or not, we face a very dark future when it comes to Second Amendment rights and to freedom in this country. Now, without getting into politics, whether or not you like Donald Trump is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, we're far better off with him than we would have been with Hillary at this point in time. But he's not going to last forever, whether he wins again for the last time or not, which personally I don't think the deep state is going to allow him to win again. I think They were completely caught with their pants down, completely caught by surprise last time, and that is not going to happen. You can look at comments that former heads of the Federal Reserve have made, which are simply astounding, to where the former head of the Federal Reserve has come out and said that the presidential election is a matter of national security and that the Fed has a responsibility to help secure the nation. And so, in other words, what they're saying is that if they have to tank the economy in order to defeat a given candidate, they are happy to do so, which is it's quite astounding. See, they don't even care what we think anymore because most people are incapable of thinking in this country, and they're well aware of that. But there's another candidate for president, Democratic candidate Beto O'Rourke, and he was recently he was at one of these town hall meetings or what have you, campaign stop. He was in Charlottesville, Virginia. And a reporter asked him the following question. They asked him how he would address people's fears that he would take away their assault rifles. You know, what are you going to tell people to reassure their fear, you know, that they're going to lose their guns? And he came out and he said, I want to be perfectly clear. That's exactly what we're going to do. Americans who own AR-15s and AK-47s will have to sell their assault weapons. All of them. Now let that sink in. See, they no longer, you know, they no longer even lie to your face about if you like your guns, you can keep your guns or anything like that. They're no longer talking about any type of common sense, you know, gun control. They're just flat out saying you're going to have to give your guns up. You're not going to be allowed to keep them. And you know, that's the reality. That's what's coming sooner or later. Now, a lot of conservatives at this point, you know, like they like to say stuff like, you know, you can have my assault weapon when you take it from my cold dead hands. You know, they want to talk about, you know, come and take it or you know, any of this stuff. Then, you know, they want to say if anybody's going to show up and kick their door in, you know, to take their guns, they're going to take a couple of them with them and all of this kind of hero type stuff. And I want to talk about that tonight because that's not how it's going to go down. Okay, that's I don't want to call it paranoid fantasy stuff, but it's not a realistic representation of how this is going to happen. Okay. Now, there are a couple of reasons why the cops are never going to go door to door, kicking doors in and taking guns out of people's houses. Okay. That's not going to happen. Let me explain why. Number one, there's not enough cops to do it. Okay. Number two, the first couple of times that they do this, they're going to run into somebody sooner or later, some middle-aged white guy that he's lived his life, he's done his job, he's got very little to look forward to, and he's going to say, screw it, I'm taking them with me. And he's going to go down in a hail of gunfire, and a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, he would become a martyr to the Second Amendment cause. He would be the guy that he was the church-going, tax-paying, you know, middle American that was killed by government jackbooted thugs defending his rights. And he may take a couple of the, you know, door kickers with him. And so this would set a very, very bad precedent because, number one, it would make a martyr out of the resistor. Number two, it would reduce the ranks of the door kickers because there's not an unlimited supply of these people. There is a finite supply of them. And if they lost two or three killed or wounded every time they did a raid, they wouldn't have the manpower to pull off very many raids. Okay? And number three, it would show that resistance is possible, that you can fight back, you can kill them. And the government can't have any of this. The government can't have the ranks of their enforcers thinned out. The government can't have middle-aged white guys turned into martyrs. And the government can't have the situation put in motion that, yes, the cops can be defeated. So none of that is good for the government. None of that is good for the powers that be, and that's why it's not going to happen. And they know this. And that's why the oath keepers out there are still going to be able to say, I'm keeping my oath. I'm not kicking anybody's doors in, you know, because they're never going to be asked to kick anybody's doors in. So how is this confiscation and forced buyback going to go down? Well, it's very simple. Now, imagine a scenario like what I'm about to describe. Let's say the next person to be elected president is somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris or some other person that could give a shit less about the United States of America, about freedom, about personal responsibility, about the Constitution, or about any of that crap. They could care less, and they want you dead. I've said that many times, and a lot of people don't believe me. They think I'm hyperbolic and exaggerating things, but it's true. They would just prefer you die. So what they'll do is they'll pass a law saying you have 90 days to sell your assault weapons back to the government and for full market value. Okay, they'll pass a law. You have 90 days or 6 months or whatever the number is. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. And they'll have a list of everybody that's on record of having purchased an AR or an AK or purchased magazines or purchased ammo or anything like that. And even there's a case right now that the government is forcing Apple and Google to turn over the names of people who have downloaded an app on their smartphone that is used with ATN night vision scopes. In other words, they don't have to show that you purchased the scope. Now they can just say you downloaded this application, so we've got your name. So you're going to be on a list somehow, somewhere, some way. Okay. So what'll happen is you'll get a letter in the mail saying we've identified you as being a person who has purchased this weapon. Blah blah blah. You have 90 days to go down to the local police station and surrender your weapon, at which point we will pay you full market value for your rifle. And if you don't do this within 90 days, you're going to be in violation of U.S. Code 13, subsection 81, paragraph 49, stroke J, subsection C. All of this crap. You know, we all know how this works. And so your patriot is going to say, no way in hell I'm walking down there and giving them my guns, wads it up and throws it in the garbage. Says, come and take it, bitch. So 90 days goes by. Nothing happens. Nobody kicks your door in. You know, everybody's talking tough on the internet. And then you get a letter in the mail. This time it's from the IRS. And they'll say, you were notified that you had 90 days to turn your rifles in, and you didn't. We have no record of you being crossed off our list. So pursuant to the law that was passed by the commie-in-chief and the traitorous Congress, if you look at the fine print, if you don't comply with the terms of that legislation, you are now liable for the health care costs, your shared portion of all health care costs, for all the gun violence in America, because you didn't turn your gun in, so you're responsible for all of the health care costs. So every time a gangbanger gets shot up by another gangbanger, instead of Cook County Hospital in Chicago paying that bill, you're going to have to pay that bill. So what they'll do is they'll come up with a number of how many millions of dollars or billions of dollars a year it is, and they'll divide it up by how many people didn't comply by the law, and the IRS will tack that onto your tax bill. Now, they already take taxes out of your paycheck before you get your paycheck. So now all they've got to do is say, in order for you to pay off your yearly share of the health care costs for gun violence, that's going to come out to $3,500 a month. We're deducting that from your wages. Think about that. So the next paycheck you get, it may be completely void. It may be completely empty or it may be next to nothing, depending upon how much your paycheck is and how much your share of the social responsibility bill is. So overnight, you've gone from being a productive person, working a job, earning a living, paying your bills, to now you have no income. It's all been taken. All of your wages have been garnished. You can't pay your bills. You can't pay your mortgage. You can't pay your car note. You can't pay your light bill, your water bill. You can't buy food. You're screwed. If you're like most in debt to their eyeball Americans, you've got about 30 days before you're out on the street, homeless. Now, 90 days goes by. You've been turned over to the bill collectors. You got nothing to eat. Everything is in foreclosure and repossession. And then they send you another letter. And they say, we understand that this has produced a hardship for a lot of people and that people didn't understand the law and that they must comply with it. So we're going to offer you a grace period. You've got 14 days to go down to the police station and surrender your assault weapons, in which case we will release all of your back pay, all of the penalties, all the interest, everything. We'll pay you for your gun, and everything will be right back to like it was before. It's just that you won't have that AR sitting in your house. But you'll have all your bills paid. You'll be able to go right back to life like it was. You can go back to rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can go back to riding your four-wheeler. You can go back to buying gas for your giant pickup truck. You can go back to life like it was. You just don't have your AR. And friends, tens of millions of tough-talking internet commandos will take that deal in a heartbeat because they are not willing to put it on the line. They're not willing to lose everything for their AR. And in this entire exercise, the cops are never going to have kicked a door in. Their hands are going to be clean. Their conscience is fine. They didn't do anything. Everybody showed up voluntarily, handed their guns in, and got a check. That's not on them. Everybody decided to do that voluntarily, and it was all done legal, fair, and square according to the law. You don't believe me? I hope I'm wrong, but all you have to do is look at what's going on in China right now with the social credit score. If you don't believe this is possible, just go look. Paul Joseph Watson, who I support financially, just did a video where they went and interviewed people who were affected by the Chinese social credit score. If you don't know what that is, the Chinese social credit score is a system where every citizen is given a reliability or loyalty grade by the government. They take into account what internet sites you go to, what stuff you click on that you like, what videos you watch, what emails you send, who you send them to, do you associate with undesirable people, do you criticize anything, and they assign points and they give you a score. It's like your credit score. See, these companies here in the United States, companies assign you a credit score. They keep up with your financial history, and they give you a number, a score, and it affects your finances. If you have a bad credit score and you go to buy a car or get a loan, you have to pay a lot more in interest than if you have good credit. If you have good credit, your interest rate is lower. So your score determines your financial viability here in the United States. Well, the Chinese, through the help of Google and Apple, who helped them build this system and helped them implement it, now, in China, if you don't have a good social credit score, if you're not a good citizen, if you're not a good supporter of the government, you can't buy plane tickets. You can't buy rail tickets. You can't reserve hotel rooms. You can't travel. You can't leave the country. You can't buy new cars. You can't buy houses. You're not eligible for loans. This is reality. Paul Joseph Watson sat down with a Chinese guy, and he pulled out his smartphone and said, let me show you what happens when I try and reserve a train ticket to travel to the next town. He pulled it up, and it would say, we're unable to process this transaction at this time. You know, just flat out couldn't do it. They are going so far in China now, get this, in the classrooms, they are now putting closed-circuit TV cameras in Chinese school classrooms. And they're using facial recognition technology so that when that camera is turned on, it recognizes the faces of the students and matches them to a name. Okay, in other words, that's what facial recognition technology is. You know, it sees you walking down the street and it says, that's Meat Trapper right there. I can tell. These cameras now are fed into computer systems that have algorithms that analyze your facial expression and determine if you are dozing in class, if you're inattentive in class, if you're scoffing in class, if you're sarcastic, if you're rolling your eyes, if you're looking off in the distance. And they downgrade your score if you're not attentive. And if you're a student who's sitting there with his mouth open and his eyes open and he's nodding his head yes and he's agreeing with everything that the teacher says about the Great Revolution, then your credit score goes up. They're watching their face, their facial expressions, and they're assigning them social credit ratings depending upon the expressions on their face. This is happening right now in China. And if you don't think this crap is coming to America, you are wrong. I have explained many, many, many times on this broadcast why the liberals love China and hate Russia. None of this is going on in Russia. The Russians don't have a social credit score. The Russians aren't monitoring the facial expressions of their kids in a classroom. The Russians aren't denying people the ability to buy a bus ticket based on their reliability score. It's the Chinese that are doing it. And it's the liberals who helped the Chinese do it. And the reason that they did it is because that's what they want to do here, and that's what they're going to do here. We already have traffic cameras that give you a traffic ticket if you run a red light or you speed or something. It's already automated. It's robotic. It's robotic law enforcement. We already have that. You already have a credit score. The only thing they're going to do is they're going to tie it in to the internet. And if you listen to Meat Trapper Radio and all of that, you're screwed. So you say, well, Meat Trapper, I've got a plan for all of that. I'm going to throw away my smartphone. I'm going to swear off the internet, and I'm not going to be on Facebook, and I'm not going to do any of that, and I'm going to go gray man. I'm going to go undercover. I'm going to go off the grid. I'm going to go sideways and be camouflaged. That's not going to save you, because it's not a matter of not having points deducted. You're going to have to earn points. You're going to have to earn enough points to be allowed to do stuff. So going off grid, going gray man, that's not going to solve it. It's like, just think of, if you don't believe me, think about the credit scoring system. Now, what if you, when you just get out of school, almost everybody goes through this, and you want to go and buy a car, you want to go do something, and you show up and they say, well, I'm sorry, you don't have any credit. You don't have a credit rating. And I can't give you a loan because you don't have a credit history. And you go, well, how am I supposed to get a credit history if I can't get a loan? They're like, I don't know. That's your problem. You know, in other words, since you don't have points, you can't get any points. That's exactly how this system is going to be implemented. It's a freaking mess. It is a freaking mess. And this all comes down to the fact that your enemy, and I have said this 1,000 freaking times, your enemy lives next door. Your enemy is the idiotic dumbass that still thinks that we can vote our way out of this. People have no idea how far down the rabbit hole we already are. You know, it's like, what if Trump builds the wall? Okay, you know, everybody's pissed off at Trump. He hadn't been able to build the wall. He's been, you know, whatever. So what? Let's say that he was able to build the wall along the entire border and seal it tomorrow. We could wave a magic wand and shut the entire border down tomorrow. The next time a Democrat gets into the office, all they're going to do is just open it back up. They'll just tear the damn thing down. And if they don't have the money or the wherewithal to tear the wall down, they'll just change the regulations so that it's no longer a criminal offense. They'll just undo it. I mean, think about it. Do you really think that if Trump manages to build a wall that they're going to let it stand? That they're not going to undo it the very first day they get back into power? Sure they are. Are you starting to get a picture of what's coming? Are you starting to understand the situation that we're in and why the average American is responsible for this? Because they are a complete and total damned dumbass. Anyway, I hope I'm wrong, but I would download this episode and let's circle up in 5 years, and let's see how much I got right. Now, do you understand why I'm always talking like a broken record about getting out of debt? Owning a piece of land, learning to grow food, learning to harvest food. Because if you're not allowed to buy food at the grocery store because of your social credit score, that's when a trap would come in real handy. And you know, the funny thing is, as I'm sitting here recording this, I pulled off the side of the road. You could probably hear traffic noise in the background from time to time because, you know, it's impossible in this country to find a quiet spot to record a podcast. It really is. You have to really, really, really work to find a place that's quiet. But I pulled off on a little country lane and I'm looking down a gated road. And it's a nice, beautiful little scene here. And I had a little buck walk across a little earlier. He stopped and he stared at me. And then just now, a beautiful black wild boar walked out in the middle of this little grass road here, this little grass path. And he stopped and looked at me and then, boom, off he went. Of course, our game department here, they're experts, they're professionals, and it's illegal to shoot wild pigs. Because you see, their logic, the government logic, is if they legalize hunting, then people will bring them in and release them so they can hunt them, and it will make the problem worse. So if you don't allow hunting, nobody will bring them in. and they will handle the problem themselves through trapping, you know, and they use the big, big circular pen traps that work once or twice, and then that's the end of that. But he was a good-looking hog, and if I had my 243, I could have popped him. But, of course, that would be illegal. It would be illegal for me to shoot a nuisance animal, an invasive species, and to feed myself. It's not allowed. So now, if you are a Patreon member, stay tuned for the second half of tonight's show. I'm going to share some of my thoughts on harvesting Asian carp and some of the things that I might try, or no, I'm not going to try them because that would be illegal. But if the crap hit the fan, some things that you might be able to do to harvest some of these invasive species. It's just amazing how we have these noxious invasive species and doing anything about them is illegal. It just boggles my mind. It really does. And if you're not a Patreon member, I would urge you to consider becoming one and to support the broadcast. You can go to patreon.com/meattrapper and get all the details, get access to the Resistance Trapping series, all of the bonus materials, the Green Beret Gourmet Cookbook, and hours and hours of other good stuff, as well as just supporting me and my efforts to bring you this message each and every week.